Chapter 17. Counter-mobility. Counter-mobility operations is a combined arms activity. This chapter addresses the general considerations for counter-mobility, terrain reinforcement, obstacle intent, obstacle employment principles, and obstacle emplacement. General counter-mobility considerations. Counter-mobility is a set of combined arms activities that use or enhance the effects of natural and man-made obstacles to prevent the enemy freedom of movement and maneuver. ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo. The primary purposes of counter-mobility are to shape enemy movement and maneuver and to prevent the enemy from gaining a position of advantage. Counter-mobility directly supports offensive and defensive operations, but only indirectly supports stability and defense support of civil authorities' tasks. Offensive and defensive operations are always combined with stability operations. Defense support of civil authorities' tasks are typically only performed in support of homeland defense. Counter-mobility can be confused with other tasks or activities that may also employ obstacles. An obstacle is any natural or man-made obstruction designed or employed to disrupt, fix, turn, or block the movement of an opposing force, and to impose additional losses in personnel, time, and equipment on the opposing force. JP 3-15. Anti-terrorism, physical security, survivability, safety, and traffic operations often employ obstacles such as perimeter fencing, concrete walls, and vehicular barriers. However, only counter-mobility involves tactical obstacle employment with effects directly linked to tactical mission tasks. Another discernible difference of counter-mobility is that it is a combined arms activity conducted to directly support offensive and defensive operations, which may be combined with stability and defense support of civil authorities' tasks. Counter-mobility enables combined arms forces to shape enemy movement and maneuver and prevent the enemy from gaining a position of advantage. In the offense, counter-mobility is conducted to help isolate objectives and prevent the enemy from repositioning, reinforcing, and counterattacking. It enables flank protection along an axis of advance or as an integrated economy of force effort to provide general flank security. In the defense, counter-mobility disrupts enemy attack formations and enables friendly forces to defeat the enemy in detail. Obstacles help channel the enemy into engagement areas throughout and protect the flanks of friendly forces conducting a counterattack. In support of offensive operations, counter-mobility may be required to defend a lodgment and protect selected sites and positions from which combat power must be generated and sustained. The unit's options for emplacing reinforcing obstacles in the offense are often limited because of challenges in gaining early access to much of the assigned area. This increases the importance of taking advantage of existing obstacles and the natural restrictiveness of the terrain. It also increases the unit's reliance on rapid obstacle emplacement capabilities, especially remotely delivered obstacles, to reinforce the terrain. In support of defensive operations, counter-mobility operations use tactical obstacles to shape engagements and maximize the effects of fires, and use protective obstacles to provide close-in protection around defensive positions. Protective obstacles help warn, prevent, and mitigate intrusion into critical fixed sites such as assembly areas and sustainment sites, or a final enemy assault onto a unit position. Erecting obstacles is also a critical supportive task to conducting denial operations. In the defense, earlier access to more of the assigned areas typically provides units with the time and information to consider a broader range of options for reinforcing the terrain. In addition to the rapid obstacle emplacement capabilities often used in the offense, units can often use more time and resource-intensive techniques to reinforce the terrain for longer periods. This may or may not be the case in support of lodgments. Such techniques include mostly constructed obstacles and some demolition obstacles. During a retrograde, including security force passage, the requirement for obstacle control will typically be increased. Units must weigh the risks of employing obstacles, especially lethal obstacles, near civilians, and consider enhancing marking and restrictions to mitigate their risk. Units rely heavily on command-detonated, self-deactivating, or non-explosive obstacles to deny the enemy freedom of movement and provide close-in protection. Denying enemy freedom of movement may involve disrupting the transportation of weapons and supplies and the emplacement of explosive hazards along roads or routes. Networked munitions are ideal when conducting countermobility in support defensive efforts around base camps and other critical fixed sites and infrastructure. The conduct of countermobility typically involves engineers and includes proper obstacle integration with the maneuver plan, adherence to obstacle emplacement authority, and positive obstacle control. Combined arms obstacle integration synchronizes countermobility into the concept of operations. Because most obstacles have the potential to deny freedom of movement and maneuver to friendly forces and enemy forces, it is critical that units properly weigh the risks and evaluate the trade-offs of employing various types of obstacles. Countermobility includes the following tasks: site obstacles, construct, emplace, or detonate obstacles, mark, report, and record obstacles, maintain obstacle integration. Terrain reinforcement. Units reinforce terrain by employing existing, reinforcing, tactical, and protective obstacles to prevent the enemy from gaining a position of advantage. They take full advantage of the natural restrictiveness of the existing terrain to minimize the time, effort, and materiel needed to achieve the desired effects and offset the limited available quantities of scatterable mines and networked munitions. Existing obstacles. Existing obstacles are inherent aspects of the terrain that impede movement and maneuver. Existing obstacles may be natural, intractable soils, rivers, mountains, wooded areas, or man-made, enemy explosive and non-explosive obstacles and structures, including bridges, canals, railroads, and embankments associated with them. Although not specifically designed or intended as an obstacle, structures may pose as an obstacle based on existing characteristics or altered characteristics that result from combat operations or a catastrophic event. Structures such as bridges and overpasses present an inherent impediment to mobility based on weight and clearance restrictions. Existing obstacles are shown on the Modified Combined Obstacle Overlay, also known as a MACU, developed as part of the IPB process. Reinforcing obstacles. Reinforcing obstacles are those man-made obstacles that strengthen existing terrain to achieve a desired effect. For United States forces, reinforcing obstacles on land consist of landmines, networked munitions, and demolition and constructed obstacles. Landmines. A landmine is a munition on or near the ground or other surface area that is designed to be exploded by the presence, proximity, or contact of a person or vehicle. ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo. Landmines can be employed in quantities within a specific area to form a minefield, or they can be used individually to reinforce non-explosive obstacles. Landmines fall into the two general categories. Non-persistent. Non-persistent landmines are capable of self-destructing or self-deactivating. Landmines can be further defined as anti-vehicle or anti-personnel. They can be air, artillery, or ground-delivered. Persistent. Persistent landmines are not capable of self-destructing or self-deactivating. Note, as of 1 January 2011, United States forces are no longer authorized to employ persistent, those that are not self-destructing or self-deactivating, or non-detectable landmines. Networked munitions. Networked munitions are remotely controlled, interconnected weapon systems designed to provide rapidly emplaced ground-based countermobility and protection capability through scalable application of lethal and non-lethal means, JP 3-15. Demolition obstacles. Demolition obstacles are created using explosives. Examples include bridge or other structure demolition, rubble, and road craters. See ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo for more information on demolition obstacles. Constructed obstacles. Constructed obstacles are created without the direct use of explosives. Examples include wire obstacles, anti-vehicle ditches, or similar construction that typically involves the use of heavy equipment. See ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo for more information on constructed obstacles. The use of some obstacles, specifically mines, is governed by United States law, United States policies, and international treaties or agreements. The United States regards mines as lawful weapons when employed according to accepted legal standards. These laws and policies are complex and subject to change. Therefore, it is essential that commanders coordinate with legal advisors when developing local rules of engagement, ROE, and ensure that legal advisors review law and policies for legal sufficiency. See JP 3-15 for more information on the laws, agreements, and policies that are most significant to the employment of obstacles. Tactical obstacles. The primary purposes of tactical obstacles are to shape enemy maneuver and to maximize the effects of fires. Tactical obstacles directly attack the ability of a force to move, mass, and reinforce. Therefore, they affect the tempo of operations. Units integrate obstacles into the scheme of maneuver to enhance the effects of fires. Pre-existing obstacles that a unit reinforces and integrates with observation and fires may become tactical obstacles. The types of tactical obstacles are clearly distinguished by the differences in execution criteria. The three types are directed obstacles, situational obstacles, reserved obstacles. A directed obstacle is an obstacle directed by a higher commander as a specified task to a subordinate unit, ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo. The higher commander directs and resources these obstacles as specified tasks to a subordinate unit. Units plan, prepare, and execute directed obstacles during the preparation of the area of operations. Most tactical obstacles are directed obstacles. A situational obstacle is an obstacle that a unit plans and possibly prepares prior to starting an operation, but does not execute unless specific criteria are met. ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo. Situational obstacles are pre-planned obstacles as part of a TAI. They provide the commander with flexibility for emplacing tactical obstacles based on battlefield development. A reserved obstacle is an obstacle of any type for which the commander restricts execution authority, ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo. This is the Army and Marine Corps definition, which can apply to any type of obstacle. The joint definition in JP 3-15 limits reserved obstacles to only demolition obstacles. The commander specifies a unit that is responsible for preparing, guarding, and executing reserved obstacle emplacement. Units execute reserved obstacles only on command of the authorized commander or based on specific criteria identified by the commander. The purpose of a reserved obstacle is to retain control over the mobility along an avenue of approach. Commanders use reserved obstacles when failure to maintain control over the mobility along an avenue of approach will have disastrous effects on the current battle or future operations. Protective obstacles. Protective obstacles are employed to protect people, equipment, supplies, and facilities against threats. Protective obstacles have two primary roles, defense and security. Defense. Protective obstacles provide friendly forces with local close-in protection. They prevent the enemy from delivering a surprise assault from areas close to a position and are integrated with FPFs to defeat the final assault of the enemy. Protective obstacles are employed to defeat mounted and dismounted threats. Security. Protective obstacles are used to prevent or mitigate hostile actions against friendly forces and critical fixed sites, such as air facilities, bases or base camps, critical infrastructure, and sustainment sites. Protective obstacles used for security produce scalable effects that range from lethal to non-lethal and are appropriate for the situation based on the ROE. Protective obstacles are key enablers to survivability operations, physical security, and anti-terrorism. Units on the move rely on rapidly emplaced protective obstacles that units can quickly recover, deactivate, or destroy. Stationary units continuously improve their security posture. See ADP 3-37 for more information on the use of obstacles in supporting protection tasks that are not considered countermobility tasks. Obstacle intent. Obstacle intent describes how obstacles support the commander's concept of operations. Obstacle intent consists of the target, effect, relative location. Target. The target is the enemy force that the commander wants to affect with tactical obstacles. The commander usually identifies the target in terms of the enemy's size and type, the echelon, the avenue of approach, or a combination of these things. Effect. Tactical obstacles and fires, direct and indirect, manipulate the enemy in a way that supports the commander's intent and scheme of movement and maneuver, or scheme of maneuver. Obstacle effect describes the effect that the commander wants the obstacles, combined with fires, to have on the enemy. The obstacle effect drives integration, focuses subordinate fires, focuses obstacle effort, multiplies firepower effects. It is important to remember that obstacle effects occur because of the combined effects of fires and obstacles rather than from obstacles alone. Tactical obstacles produce one of the following effects: block, disrupt, fix, turn. Each obstacle effect is graphically represented by an obstacle effect symbol. Obstacle effect symbols are used as control measures for obstacle groups and as elements of the control measures for obstacle zones and belts. During COA development, obstacle effect symbols are also used in developing and showing the initial obstacle plan that supports each COA. Obstacle effects and their symbols resemble some of the tactical mission tasks and symbols described in Appendix A. However, obstacle effects and obstacle effect symbols differ from tactical mission tasks and tactical mission task symbols. Tactical mission task symbols are used during COA development to show information, the what or why, about a friendly force action. Obstacle effect symbols are used during COA development to show how obstacles will support each COA. Obstacle effects must support tactical mission tasks, but the best way to do that may require designating an obstacle effect that differs from the supported tactical mission task or placing it in a different location. For example, achieving the tactical mission task fix in a specified location may require turn or block obstacle effects in front of, behind, or adjacent to that location depending on the effects of terrain. Block effect. Block is an obstacle effect that integrates fire planning and obstacle efforts to stop an attacker along a specific avenue of approach or to prevent the attacking force from passing through an engagement area. To accomplish the block effect, the obstacles and fires must prevent the enemy from bypassing or breaching the obstacles, maximize available standoff, stop enemy forward movement. Units consider obstacle protection when planning fire control measures. The first mission of the overwatching force is to stop any bypassing or breaching attempt. They respond to any attempt to breach or bypass with direct and indirect fires. Block obstacles stop enemy maneuver and cause the enemy to commit breaching assets that can be destroyed by fire. To support survivability, units position forces to provide standoff so that the force can survive. The engagement area must cover the width of the entire avenue of approach, the maximum effective range of the overwatching weapons minus the standoff distance limits the depth of the engagement area. The commander positions forces so that they can mass interlocking fires across the entire avenue of approach. The defending force must be able to concentrate all available fires within the obstacle group. Units array weapon systems in depth based on their maximum effective ranges. The success of a block obstacle is measured by its impact on the enemy advance, not by enemy losses. The block effect is the most resource-intensive obstacle effect to achieve and is usually only limited to critical points on the battlefield. Normally, the purposes of forces overwatching a block obstacle is to defeat lead enemy units and cause the attacker to reconsider the deployment of follow-on forces. Commanders allocate sufficient combat power to achieve all effects of the obstacle, which demand protecting the obstacle and defeating enemy forces encountering it. Achieving the block effect requires the integration of complex obstacles, those that require more than one reduction technique to create a lane, with massed fires to defeat the breaching effort of the attacking force. Units array obstacles successively in a concentrated area. When the attacking force reduces one obstacle integrated with massed fires, it encounters another obstacle integrated with massed fires. Obstacles must defeat the mounted and dismounted breaching efforts of the attacking force. They must span the entire width of the assembly area, allowing no bypass. Obstacles intended to prevent an attacking force from using a specific assembly area should be readily visible to discourage further progress forward. Obstacles used to prevent an attacking force from passing through an engagement area should be less visible to avoid discouraging the enemy from entering the engagement area. Fires should be planned not on the obstacles but on the locations where enemy forces will move to when they are blocked. Disrupt effect. Disrupt is an obstacle effect that focuses fire planning and obstacle effort to cause the enemy to break up its formation and tempo, interrupt its timetable, commit breaching assets prematurely, and attack in a piecemeal effort. The disrupt effect also helps to deceive the enemy concerning the location of friendly defensive positions, separate combat echelons, or separate combat forces from its logistics support. To accomplish the disrupt effect, the obstacles and fires must cause the enemy to deploy early, slow and disrupt part of the enemy force, allow part of the enemy force to advance unimpeded. Obstacles must normally attack half of the targeted avenue of approach to achieve the disrupt effect. The obstacles should not require extensive resources for construction or emplacement. Units normally use the disrupt effect beyond engagement areas while being careful not to inadvertently discourage the enemy from entering the engagement area. Indirect fires and long-range direct fires are used to cause the enemy to change from a march formation to a pre-battle or attack formation, resulting in reduced closure speed and increased time to engage the enemy in the engagement area. Generally, indirect fires alone will not force an enemy to deploy except when dismounted. Units plan suppression and neutralization indirect fire targets or groups on the obstacles in a disrupt obstacle group. Indirect fires are used with the obstacles to slow the part of the enemy force that makes contact with the obstacles. Units also use every means available to disrupt enemy command and control throughout the enemy formation. Units use electromagnetic warfare, obscuration, and indirect fires to disrupt the decision cycle of the enemy and increase the direct fire window on the unimpeded part of the enemy force. Units use target reference points to mass direct fires against the part of the enemy formation that is not impeded by obstacles and indirect fires. Units do not execute those fires until the enemy force separates from its parent formation. They use direct fire weapons that can deliver a lethal initial volley of fire. A quick volley is critical if the enemy has good command and control and can react quickly to the disruption of its formation. Disengagement criteria are also a consideration in weapon selection. If units plan a short engagement, they choose a weapon system that can fire and maneuver without becoming decisively engaged. If they expect a long engagement, they select a weapon system that can sustain rapid fire with sufficient survivability to support the engagement. Units plan fire control measures that allow for the shift of direct or indirect fires to the enemy that are slowed by the obstacle or to the enemy bypassing the obstacle. Key leaders are positioned where they can best assess the obstacle effect. If the enemy is rapidly breaching the obstacles, they may shift direct fires against the enemy breaching assets. If a large force bypasses, units may shift all fires against the unimpeded enemy to inflict maximum losses and then reposition friendly forces to subsequent positions. Fix effect. Fix is an obstacle effect that focuses fire planning and obstacle effort to slow an attacker's movement within a specified area, normally an engagement area. The fix effect allows time to acquire, target, and destroy the enemy with direct and indirect fires throughout the depth of an engagement area or avenue of approach. The fix effect helps fires to defeat the enemy in detail or to gain the necessary time for forces to reposition while inflicting maximum casualties. To accomplish the fix effect, the obstacles and fires must cause the enemy to deploy into attack formation early, cause the enemy to advance slowly into the engagement area, make the enemy fight in multiple directions within the engagement area. Units specify the amount of time or effect that the combined effect of fires and obstacles must achieve. The fix effect may generate the time necessary for the defending force to break contact and disengage as the attacking force maneuvers into the area. To achieve the fix effect, units array obstacles in depth to cause the attacking formation to react and breach repeatedly. The obstacles must influence the entire width of the avenue of approach, but not make the terrain impenetrable. The individual obstacles must look as if they could be easily bypassed or reduced. Units combine obstacles that are clearly visible with others that are unseen, such as obstacles on the reverse slope, help to confuse the attacking force once it encounters the obstacles. Units plan artillery and aviation-delivered fires forward of the obstacles to suppress or neutralize the enemy. They synchronize indirect fires with long-range direct fires that cause the enemy to deploy out of a march or a pre-battle formation. If the enemy is in an attack formation, this allows obstacles and fires to attack the full frontage of the enemy. Initially, units orient fires on the enemy force as a whole. However, destroying enemy breaching assets becomes increasingly important as the enemy continues to advance into the engagement area. To maximize obstacle effect and inflict maximum losses on the enemy, the fire plan requires an increase in the intensity of fires as the enemy advances. Units plan successive TRPs integrated with obstacles closer to the BPs, which trigger engagement by additional weapons. They vary the intensity of fires through fire control to allow the enemy to continue a slowed advance. When the enemy fully commits, friendly forces complete its destruction. Once the enemy commits in the engagement area, the fire plan causes the enemy to fight in as many directions as possible. This serves to further slow its advance, disrupt its command and control, and reduce its ability to mass, allowing friendly forces to provide interlocking fires with flank shots on individual targets. Combining fires from multiple directions with the random orientation of individual obstacles further confuses the attacker. For direct fires, units consider the use of TRPs and supplementary positions to reorient fires. They also consider the use of protective obstacles to protect the force. The fire support officer and fire support teams plan targets to hold the enemy in the engagement area and aim final protective fires on critical mobility corridors that may let the enemy threaten friendly positions. Turn effect. Turn is an obstacle effect that integrates fire planning and obstacle effort to divert an enemy formation from one avenue of approach to an adjacent avenue of approach or into an engagement area. To accomplish the turn effect, the obstacles and fires must prevent the enemy from bypassing or breaching the obstacle, cause the enemy to bypass in the desired direction, maintain pressure on the enemy throughout the turn and exploit its exposed flank. Developing a turn obstacle requires mobility corridors and avenues of approach that are well defined by restricted terrain. To achieve a turn effect, the obstacles must have a subtle orientation relative to the approach of the attacking force. The obstacles and fires allow bypasses in the direction that is desired by the friendly scheme of movement and maneuver, or scheme of maneuver. Obstacles at the start of the turn are visible to the attacking force and look more complex than those in the direction of the turn. The anchor point, the initial point of the turn, is where most turn obstacles fail. Therefore, it is critical that units reinforce the anchor point with concentrated direct and indirect fires to achieve the turn effect. Units normally anchor turn obstacle groups to restricted terrain or to a strong point. They approve fire support coordination measures, which enable the focus of all available fires first at the anchor point. When the enemy encounters the obstacle, the combination of fires, obstacles, and terrain must limit their ability to breach or bypass at the anchor point. Units plan an indirect fire target or group to turn the enemy away from the anchor point. They focus enough direct fire assets to deal with the size of the enemy force expected at that point. For example, if an enemy company is expected at the anchor point, then at least one friendly platoon should be allocated to mass fires at that point. If the enemy breaches the obstacle at the anchor point, the turning effect could be lost, compromising the friendly defensive plan. The critical task in achieving the turn effect is to use obstacles and overwhelming fires to cause the enemy to move in the direction that is desired by the friendly unit. As the engagement progresses, the friendly force prevents enemy attempts to breach the obstacle by designating enemy breaching assets as priority targets. Direct fire weapon systems are the primary means for destroying enemy breaching equipment. Artillery and aviation-delivered fires can attack individual targets, but they may be less timely. Plan indirect fires, artillery and mortars, in front of, on top of, to the side of, and behind obstacles to maximize their effect as combat multipliers. Developing fire control measures through the planning of NAIs, TAIs, triggers, and targets to support obstacles in the obstacle group will make indirect fires more responsive and effective. Units develop a fire plan with fire control measures that allow them to shift fires as necessary to cover the turn effect. Direct and indirect fires shift in unison to attack and maintain pressure on the enemy force's flank. Fires covering the length of the turn effect are less focused than at the turn point. Company commanders facilitate this by assigning platoon sectors of fire between TRPs. Units usually execute indirect fires in groups instead of aiming at individual targets. Direct and indirect fires continue throughout the length and depth of the turn effect. These fires simultaneously exploit the vulnerability created by the turn effect and protect the integrity of the obstacles. Relative location. Relative location refers to the location of a tactical or protective obstacle in relation to maneuver or fire control measures, such as avenues of approach, BPs, or engagement areas. Engineers and other countermobility planners describe planned obstacle locations in relation to maneuver or fire control measures to help maneuver commanders visualize linkages between obstacles, fires, and maneuver, and to ensure obstacle integration. Obstacles employment principles. The basic employment principles for obstacles are: support the maneuver commander's plan, integrate with observation and fires, integrate with other obstacles, employ in depth, employ for surprise. See ATP 3-90.8/MCTP3-34 Bravo for more information on obstacle employment principles. Obstacle emplacement authority. Obstacle emplacement authority is the authority to emplace reinforcing obstacles. Geographic combatant commanders have the authority to emplace obstacles in their areas of responsibility within the ROE. They may delegate emplacement authority to subordinate commanders down to the lowest echelon necessary to allow for maximum flexibility in executing tactical missions, while ensuring that the employment of reinforcing obstacles is consistent with the ROE and supportive of current and future operations. Commanders consider the particular system characteristics, including inherent hazards that it might pose to friendly forces and civilians, and the ROE in determining the emplacement authority for scatterable mines. The duration of scatterable mines employment is a primary consideration in determining the extent to which emplacement authority should be delegated. When used as protective obstacles, higher commanders typically delegate emplacement authority to the commanders of small units, platoon or company or team, and base camps. The commander's guidance on emplacement authority is stated in the unit's order. Commanders use obstacle control measures and other specific guidance or orders to grant or withhold obstacle emplacement authority to subordinate commanders and provide obstacle control. For example, a commander may withhold authority by shaping obstacle control measures within the area of operations of a subordinate unit so that a specific area is not included, such as a counterattack axis, to ensure the freedom of movement and maneuver of other units in that area. Likewise, the commander may also state in an order that a specific area, such as a counterattack axis, is an obstacle-restricted area. Subordinate commanders who desire to emplace an obstacle outside a zone, belt, or group must submit a report of intention for that obstacle. The report doubles as a request when units initiate it at levels below emplacement authority. Units do not submit the report if the higher headquarters grants emplacement authority. Commanders give the authorization to emplace obstacles when they establish obstacle control measures. As an exception, units do not submit reports of intention for directed obstacles that are part of an operation plan or operation order approved by the Obstacle Emplacement Authority. Commanders and staffs consider time, width, and depth when planning for obstacle control. For example, a commander may use an on-order obstacle zone to give a subordinate obstacle emplacement authority only after a certain time or event. Likewise, a commander may direct that only scatterable mines with a certain self-destruct time or networked munitions with on and off features can be emplaced in a specific area. Maneuver control measures can aid in focusing the width and depth of obstacle control measures. Typical graphics that may be used include unit boundaries and PLs, BHLs and forward edges of the battle area, lines of departure and lines of contact, fire support coordination line, no fire areas, and coordinated fire lines, passage lanes and corridors, counterattack axis and movement routes, objectives, future BPs, and avenues of approach. Obstacle control planning is guided by supporting current operations, maximizing subordinate flexibility, facilitating future operations. Commanders use obstacle control to focus obstacle effort where it will clearly support their intent and concept of operations. They also use obstacle control to ensure that obstacles will not interfere with current operations or limit their ability to respond to unforeseen situations. Obstacle control measures. Obstacles can be natural, man-made, or a combination of both. Forces emplace tactical and protective obstacles that reinforce terrain restrictions and existing obstacles and integrate them with fires to affect enemy movement or maneuver and shape engagements. Obstacle control measures are specific measures that grant obstacle emplacing authority. They consist of zones, belts, groups, restrictions. Commanders with an assigned area can only emplace protective obstacles unless authorized by a higher echelon commander. An analysis of the higher echelon headquarters' mission and commander's intent identifies information that may impact the mission. The components of this analysis are intent, assigned areas, military deception, directed and implied tasks, limitations, available assets, risk, and emplacement timelines and risk. Among the directed obstacle tasks are the planning, preparation, and execution of reserve obstacles. Reserve obstacles allow the force to retain control over the mobility along a given avenue of approach. Obstacle zones. An obstacle zone is a division-level command and control measure to designate specific land areas where lower echelons are allowed to employ tactical obstacles, JP 3-15. Corps and division commanders use them to grant obstacle emplacement authority to brigades, including other major subordinate units. Obstacle zones are permissive, allowing a brigade combat team to place reinforcing obstacles to support its scheme of maneuver without interfering with future operations. If the obstacle zone encompasses the entire brigade combat team assigned area, another graphic is unnecessary. Commanders may designate the entire assigned area as an obstacle zone, with the unit boundaries defining the geographic limits of the zone. Obstacle zones do not cross brigade combat team boundaries. Commanders assign obstacle zones to a single subordinate unit to ensure unity of effort, just as they would when assigning defensive assigned areas or BPs. This keeps tactical obstacle responsibility along the same lines as control of direct and indirect fires. This does not normally create vulnerabilities on the boundary between units, since the commander bases the assignment of both subordinate assigned areas and obstacle zones on defined avenues of approach. A commander does not normally assign an obstacle effect, block, fix, turn, or disrupt, to an obstacle zone. This allows subordinate commanders flexibility in using obstacles. The commander should establish construction and resourcing priorities between different obstacle zones. Obstacle belts. An obstacle belt is a brigade-level command and control measure normally depicted graphically to show where within an obstacle zone the ground tactical commander plans to limit friendly obstacle employment and focus the defense, JP 3-15. It assigns an intent to the obstacle plan and provides the necessary guidance on the overall effect of obstacles within a belt. Commanders plan obstacle belts within assigned obstacle zones to grant obstacle emplacement authority to their major subordinate units. Obstacle belts also focus obstacles to support the brigade's scheme of maneuver and ensure that obstacles do not interfere with the maneuver of any higher headquarters. Obstacle belts are restrictive. Commanders can direct a subordinate unit to construct one or more obstacles to create an effect in an area. They do not specify the type or number of obstacles. Obstacle belts do not cross unit boundaries for the same reasons discussed in obstacle zones. A single unit is responsible for a belt. However, a commander may assign more than one belt to a unit. A brigade combat team commander normally assigns an obstacle effect and priority to each obstacle belt. As with the obstacle zone, the target and relative location are apparent. Adding a specific obstacle effect gives purpose and direction to subordinate battalion obstacle planning. When brigade combat team commanders assign an obstacle effect, they ensure that obstacles within the belt complement the brigade combat team fire plan. A corps, division, or brigade commander may authorize emplacement certain types of protective obstacles outside obstacle zones or belts. Normally, the commander authorizes company, team, and base commanders to emplace protective obstacles within 500 meters, 546 yards, of their positions, depending on the mission variables. The commander usually limits the types of obstacles a unit may use for protective obstacles that are outside obstacle control measures. For example, the commander may allow only wire and command-detonated mines outside of control measures for protective obstacles. Furthermore, commanders may require that minefields be fenced on all sides after obtaining legal guidance concerning current rules and policies on mine emplacement to prevent friendly fire incidents. Obstacle groups. Obstacle groups are one or more individual obstacles that provide a specific obstacle effect. Battalions use obstacle groups to ensure that company teams emplace individual obstacles supporting their maneuver schemes. In rare cases, brigades, divisions, or even corps may use obstacle groups for specific tactical obstacles. Units integrate obstacle groups with their direct and indirect fire plans. Brigade and maneuver battalion commanders plan their placement within designated obstacle zones or belts, respectively. Unlike obstacle zones or belts, obstacle groups are not areas but relative locations for actual obstacles. Commanders normally show obstacle groups using the obstacle effect symbols. When detailed planning is possible, including detailed ground reconnaissance, commanders may show obstacle groups using individual obstacle symbols. Company team commanders and engineers can adjust obstacles in the group if the intent and link to the fire plan remain intact. They make minor changes to obstacles and fire control measures based on terrain realities. For example, a commander may move a fixing obstacle group and direct fire TRPs 100 meters, 109 yards, to avoid having them masked by rolling terrain. However, a major change to the obstacle group location requires the approval of the commander who ordered the obstacle group emplacement. Individual obstacles. Each type of individual obstacle, such as abatis and anti-tank ditches, has its associated symbol. Once a unit constructs an individual obstacle, it records the obstacle's location and reports its emplacement through the chain of command. Commanders must report individual obstacles in sufficient detail so that any unit moving through the area can bypass or reduce the obstacle without excessive risk. Each headquarters is responsible to ensure the dissemination of exact obstacle locations throughout its organization. Commanders rarely depict individual obstacle symbols on maps above the battalion echelon. This publication does not depict individual obstacle symbols. TM3-34.85/MCRP3-17-alpha discusses individual obstacles. Obstacle restrictions. Commanders may use obstacle restrictions to provide additional obstacle control and to limit the specific types of obstacles used, such as restricting the use of buried mines. These restrictions ensure that subordinates do not use obstacles with characteristics that impair future operations. These restrictions also allow commanders to focus the use of limited resources for the main effort by restricting their use elsewhere. Obstacle restricted areas is a command and control measure used to limit the type or number of obstacles within an area, JP 3-15. The commander with emplacement authority uses obstacle restricted areas to restrict obstacle placement. The graphic for obstacle restricted areas depicts the impacted area, the unit imposing the restriction, and the restrictions in effect. See ATP 3-90.8/MCTP 3-34 Bravo for more information on obstacle control measures.